Well, before we get started, I've got an announcement to make that there is a women's brunch this Saturday, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back. It's a wonderful outreach opportunity. If you're planning on coming and have not signed up yet, please do so that they can just get an idea of who all is going to be there and just an idea of some numbers. So again, this Saturday, it's going to be over at the community center over here. So sign-up sheet in the back. Well, this morning I've had an opportunity to kind of take a look at life from a different angle this last week. And so as the Lord often does, he brings new things into our lives. And if you pay attention, you see things that are really cool to see. And it brought me to the verse, the passage that I wanted to talk about this morning in John chapter 6 about feeding the 5,000. And I wanted to focus specifically this morning on the young man who provided the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. Reason being is because it struck me that many times the Lord has given us a ministry. And especially for young people can tend to think, what can I do in the kingdom of God? Many of us may feel the same way. What can I possibly do in the kingdom of God? You know, I don't have any specific skills. I'm not a Bible scholar. You know, I don't feel like I should be a pastor or anything. What could I possibly do? I don't have a lot of money to give. And so we limit ourselves. But this last week, I had an opportunity to see our youngest granddaughter in our house, Maddie, ministering to my 90-year-old mother. And she simply crawled up in her lap and gave her a big hug and brought a couple of books with her. And they were books about God. And so she's sitting there. It reminded me of some of the things that I've seen with the Corbin kids in particular, because there was a bond built between my in-laws and those kids when they were in a recovery phase, both of them. And the three of them really touched their hearts with their care and their letters. And so I saw a ministry there for kids who really didn't even know they were ministering. And then later on, I understand Timmy with your dad and doing the same thing. Will you read me the book? Well, how's somebody not going to read you the book? I mean, grandparents love to read the book. And so my mom is on her own journey right now, but the opportunity for her to sit down and for Maddie to curl up in her lap and sit there, I saw a ministry at work. Yesterday she came down the steps and said, "Tutu, tutu, where are you?" And so, you know, just the joy of being a child and wanting to see somebody, and you can imagine how that warms somebody's heart. But doing it without any real knowledge of what she's doing. And so the thought, there's nothing I have to offer, didn't ever really enter her mind. But we get to the point where we move through life and we go, what do I really have to offer? And that led me to John chapter 6. And starting in verse 4, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming at him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" So I'll stop there. Let's start by making the point that Jesus isn't perplexed about what he's going to do. He's not really worried about what's coming next. But what he is doing is he's moving Philip from pragmatism to faith. Have any of us ever found ourselves in that point, wanting to know, okay, how's this going to work out? I want to see it. And then once I see it, I'll go ahead and step into the water. Well, Jesus' point is, this ain't going to work pragmatically, Philip. So the boy is sitting there, and he has these five loaves, and he has two fish, and he's being asked to give them up. So Scripture doesn't tell us, this is me contemplating, what could the boy be thinking? Could he be thinking, what do I have to offer in this situation? Could he be thinking, this isn't really enough to make a difference? I mean, look at what has to be accomplished here. What about me? What am I going to eat if I give this up? I wonder where his parents are. You know, are his parents even there? Is he there alone? Does he have anybody to watch out for him? Or has he been left alone? So I wonder about that. But he's about to learn some very valuable lessons. In verse 6, it says Jesus was saying this to test him because he already knew what he was intending to do. So the first thing that we learn here, and the boy would have learned, is that God is in control. He knows what he's going to do. There's nothing that catches him off guard. There's nothing that surprises him. And he invites us to participate in the things that he does. Secondly, he's going to learn that God is about increase. And if you think about it, you know, the boy couldn't see it, but it had to, he had to let that small amount go. And God was going to use it to feed, to multiply to the people. If you think about God's history, he created everything out of nothing as an increase. Right? Everything, nothing, everything. So he's about increase. You think of Abraham and Sarah, the increase from two older people with no children to more than the stars in the sky, the grains of sand on a beach. So God is about increase. So the boy had an opportunity to learn that as he watched. He's about the fact that that increase requires trust. It's another lesson the boy's going to learn. Okay, because he couldn't see it, but he had to let go of the small amount that he had in order for that to be multiplied. And again, we see Abraham with Isaac having to let go of that dream that he had to say, Lord, you're asking me to do this, but I do trust you. And through that, God showed him increase. It makes me think of the widow in 1 Kings 17, where Elijah meets the widow. And he says, look, don't worry, God. Your flour's not going to run out. Your oil's not going to run out. And it doesn't. So the increase that God shows there, it's really a requirement to trust in God's love. Scripture is full of the way that God increases. But this is something the young man had this opportunity to see. He sees that increase requires sacrifice. The boy gave all that he had. And you think about the fact that in that, you can imagine the boy finding a sense of security. I may get hungry, but I've got this that I can turn to and I can rely on. He's giving up comfort. I now, for a time, may be hungry. I may be uncomfortable because of that. So he's giving up that which he had. Again, back to Abraham and Isaac. Abraham had to be willing to give up Isaac, give up those hopes and dreams. The last thing that the boy was about to learn was that increase is God's work, not his. God used what the boy had. But the boy didn't feed the 5,000. The disciples didn't feed the 5,000. God fed the 5,000. And so it's a good reminder for us that the things that we hold on to tightest, the things that we don't give, you know, we don't give credit to God for being God. Every time I think, what do I have to offer? What could I possibly do in the kingdom of God? I'm not giving God credit for who God is. I'm not recognizing his sovereignty and his power. So the boy had an opportunity to participate, and he did. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul reminds us, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God causes the growth. So for us, it's really just a matter of saying, Lord, use me. And if that's an earnest prayer, fasten your seatbelt, because he's going to use you. And he's going to give you an opportunity to give up your fish and your bread. And sometimes he may ask you to do that, and sometimes he may not. But the question is, am I ready for that? And then as he begins to use you, just say, Lord, give me this day. Give me this day the strength, the grace, your power to do what it is that you're asking me, because in my strength, I can't do it. You know, I'm going to get uncomfortable and I'm going to want to turn back. I'm going to want to look back. But Lord, just give me your strength and you'll do it. Lord, there's nothing I wouldn't give for you. You sacrificed your son on the cross for me. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for you. And if we rely on him, if we rely on his spirit in us, then we're not looking to the world, right? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never let us down. The world will always let us down. So let's just trust in him. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for the lessons that you teach us, the simplicity of the lessons. Lord, you do it in such a way, you tell us that you're showing us through your actions. You're not trying to keep anything from us. You just are asking us to love you back. You're asking us to trust you. And Lord, you're asking us to obey you out of that trust, not out of a sense of have to, but out of a sense of desire to demonstrate our love back to you. We thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.